We now have one more opportunity to hear from our local elder and assistant pastor, Mr. Monty Knutson.
I also wanted to say thank you to those who came out last Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, to the Remies and help stuff. Close to 1,000 envelopes for the Kingdom of God seminar. So we had to fold, stuff them, take labels, put them on the envelopes. And so that was nice to be a part of that with you. So thank you for that as well. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Now, in the Bible, we have a number of things that aren't really clear to us. And I think we're all here to know that this is God's Word, this is His Bible, and hopefully we want to look at what He says as truth and apply it in our lives. Jesus Christ said He came to fulfill the law. He said He didn't come to do away with the law. So He taught His disciples while He was on earth, and He had a number of followers that followed Him. Now, Jesus Christ is just before His crucifixion, 2 days before His crucifixion, He talks about Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. I'm not going to go through Matthew 24. I just want to touch on a couple of verses. I do plan on giving a message on Matthew chapter 24 and breaking that down, maybe next time or the time thereafter. But what I want to talk about today is I want to zero in on the punishment that is coming on Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. Okay. Modern day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. Thank you. Now we could also give another message on who is modern day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. All right? I think most of us here know who they are. We have a booklet, United States and Britain in Prophecy. This booklet tells you who they are through what the Bible says. It's not in our words. There's also a number of other books, not by us, that are printed, published, that also tell you who modern day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah are as well. And they say the same things that we say in this booklet. But here we have Jesus Christ, you know, talking to individuals of his day, scolding them because they do not want to change their ways and surrender, repent, and obey God. They don't want to do it. They got their own understanding, their own philosophy, their own ideas, to the point where here's Jesus Christ speaking to them, and they don't even recognize what He's saying, because what they have put into their works, into their thoughts, have been contrary to the truth. Therefore, they can't hear the truth. But Jesus Christ, let's pick it up in Matthew 24, verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, it probably wasn't just showing Him the buildings. Jesus Christ was just scolding people in the temple and what was going to happen. And Jesus Christ says to them, do you not see all these things? Do you not see what's actually going to happen? Do you also not see? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So Jesus Christ is saying, this temple, yeah, it maybe look pretty, and it took a long time to build, and it's solid, but it's going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be stacked on top of another stone. So that startled the disciples to where they moved on. But verse 3 says, and now he sat on the Mount of Olives. So they moved on to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came to him privately. So now they're together. And they said to Jesus, tell us when will these things be? All right. So there was a time back then where the temple was destroyed. All right. And what will be the sign of your coming? So now they're saying, okay, what about the sign of your coming? And the end of this age. All right. So then Jesus Christ goes through Matthew 24, which we're not going to go through today, but I want to go all the way to verse 32. And it says, as he talks about what's going to be happening, and we touch on this in a number of other scriptures, and we're going to come back to Matthew 24, like I said, in another message. But he goes through this, and they're wondering, wow. Devastation, destruction, lawlessness, people killing people, the abomination of desolation. He rattled off a number of things. And so then he says, now we learn this parable from the fig tree. This is talking about when are all these things going to come together, right? It says, all of these things that I just told you, how will you know that the time is close? Because God, Jesus Christ, answered the disciples. He let them know that, hey, this is what's going to happen. So it's something that God wants us to know. He doesn't give us great detail of exactly how it's going to play out, but he gives us enough detail to be aware what we need to be doing. But he says, now learn this parable from the fig tree, okay? So, and we're relating this to when the end of the age will be. End of the age meaning the end of Satan and his reign, his rule. Okay, that end, it's going to be violent. Just like in a stock market, when there's a shift from bear to bull or bull to bear, just before that change, the stock market gets very violent. Up and down, swinging around, and it's a warning sign that something is about to change. Now, that doesn't always mean in the stock market when you have something go down. A lot of people say, well, that's a good, healthy correction. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too, because the Bible talks about that. Because in our day and age, they say, buy. Buy when the market is down because it always goes back up. All right? We'll come back to that here. But it says, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So here, there's the fig tree. There it is. You see that the twigs now are turning green. They're beginning tender, right? It's putting forth leaves. Oh, it's getting close. So you also, when you see all these things, know that the time is near. Know that the time is near. If you go read Mr. Tuck's greetings letter to us, he touches on some of that. And Matthew 24 does as well, and we'll touch on some of it in some other areas. But it says, know these things, that the time is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So, what does he mean by this generation? By no means will pass away. Because he spoke this almost 2,000 years ago, and that generation has passed away. Could be that when these things start to intensify, that we're within a generation of all this coming down and taking place at the, what just talking about, the end of the age and the time when Jesus Christ is going to return. So we will know that when things intensify, we have a very short period of time. A certain generation. What is a generation? You know, is it 10 years? Is it 40 years? There's a time frame in there of when things are going to happen. It says in verse 36, but that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So it's not something for us to predict and say, oh, this is going on over here and this is going on over here. We can know that it's close, right? There's the tree. It's got leaves. Eventually it's going to bud some fruit. Eventually the fruit's going to come. We know what's happening. We know it's getting close. God is a loving God. And he loves all mankind. He loves his creation. He just doesn't want man taking advantage of other people. He wants man to obey his laws, which is a law of love. He wants man to keep his holy days. He wants to keep his law. We know that God gives rain on the just and on the unjust. So God is a very kind and he's a very fair God. And you know what? He does let everyone know that he exists. A lot of people today don't believe God exists. Some people believe he exists. Some people believe, well, I don't really have to obey him. But God gives warnings to all of us, to those who are obeying him and to those who are not obeying him. He lets us know what our responsibilities are. So as we're coming to an end of an age, probably in the near future, don't know exactly when, but it gets closer each day. God gives us some generalities of what to look for, what's going to take place to those who will not repent, that those who are following Satan and not following him. Modern day Israel's immediate future is not good. It does not look good. And the reason why is because their continued disobedience to God. God gives many warnings to say, hey, repent and change. Quit stealing. Quit lying. Keep my Sabbaths. Quit committing adultery. And you know what? The warning goes out. But most do not repent. So God reveals to us what's going to happen to those who do not repent. And we don't want to be a part of that. And he also tells us what he's going to do to those who do repent. And so this understanding should help us, hopefully should help us to stay close to God. The title is Modern Day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah's Future. Now God made a covenant with Abraham. And you can go back. We're not going to turn there in Genesis chapter 48, Genesis 49, to his children. We had Abraham to his grandchildren. His children and grandchildren. Grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh from Joseph. And he gave blessings to them. And he talks about Ephraim, who was the oldest. And actually Manasseh, I believe, Manasseh was the oldest. Ephraim was the youngest. Ephraim got the birthright blessing to be a great nation of nations where the sun would never go down on its empire. And we know that Great Britain had they were ruling over many nations of the world. And a lot of those nations, they no longer rule. But then Manasseh would come and be one single nation, one great nation, a nation that has never been. So you can go back and you can look at, it doesn't specifically say Great Britain, it doesn't specifically say the United States, but you can go back and look at that. Who was one large nation where the sun never went down on its empire? in the last days. And also the single nation in its last days. We're talking the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th century, that these two nations were a great power, and the United States still is a great power, but the Bible predicts that that power will be taken away. I want to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read this quite often. We point this passage to the end times. Paul is telling Timothy, he says, know this, that in the last days, and this is Paul talking to Timothy. They thought the end time was going to be in their time too, but he's telling Timothy, in the last days, perilous times. In other words, difficult times, hard times to bear will come because men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, they'll be blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny its power. They'll be kind, be gentle, but I think we see this more and more. We see it definitely in our political system. We had someone come to our house this past week to give us, we just wanted our air conditioners checked. You know, we try to do that once a year. And they told us, and they're working. Oh, you should just replace it and get new ones. And it's like, oh, you know, they're about to go out. I mean, before in our other house, we had someone come there and they said, oh, you need a new one. And so we got a second opinion. I said, you don't need a new one. But we see scandals all the time. It's, you know, you want to have people come over and you want to do business with, but you got to be so careful. So careful. Same thing with our reverse osmosis. People are there to take advantage of your situation. We just want a filter changed out. But people will try to take advantage of each other. But we see how lawlessness abounds in this society, quite rampant. Our whole news media is full of lawlessness. We know television shows. Everywhere you go, it's about lawlessness. Most things that are reported on the news are about things that people have done that break the law. It's an ongoing thing. Our media is not about to tell us what the news is, what the truth is. They have a biased approach, either one side or the other in the political system. And they gossip. They lie. They blaspheme. They're proud. They want to push their agenda. They're haughty. They're lovers of their pleasure than rather lovers of God. And so, perilous times and perilous men, it's going to increase. Okay? So, we have Satan in this society who deceives people. And we're warned. And we, as individuals, we're also warned by God not to be like this. Not to be like this. Revelation 18:4 is a reference. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Ones that God has worked with. Come out, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. We're told to not be like this. Or we too will share in the plagues that are coming upon modern day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. So we understand that to be a Britain, United States, Australia, New Zealand. It goes English-speaking peoples, those that we see have received God's great blessings in this end time. So what type of plagues will come upon those who do not obey God? Let's look at those today. What type of plagues are going to come on us as a nation in America and Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and other areas as well? It says God tells us in Amos 3, as we begin this area of looking at these plagues, Amos 3, verse 7, God says, Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So he reveals what he's going to do to the prophets. And the prophets have a responsibility of telling and preaching this truth to Great Britain, to America, to Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. So if God is revealing that to us, this is something that we're told if you go to Ezekiel, I'm not going to talk about it today, but Ezekiel chapter 33, write it down in your notes. The watchman has a responsibility to tell the people their sins. Ezekiel was the prophet. He was inspired to tell Israel their sins. But Ezekiel was born 100 years later, I should say after Israel was put into captivity and put away where no one knew where they were at. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But we have a responsibility to be living the truth. And in our lives, every day, we have the opportunity to, questions come up, we have a responsibility to let others know that we're doing our best to repent and overcome and not be like the world. And it's something that we all need to be doing. But so God says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So we're going to look at that in Scripture and see what lies ahead for physical Israel, some of the land which we now live in. Let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 26 as we go through this. Leviticus chapter 26. And as we go through this, we can also see what we need to be doing, what God wants us to be doing as well. But Leviticus chapter 26, we have the promise of blessing and here in this chapter. But he says, verse 1 of Leviticus 26, you shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. We have a lot of idols nowadays. People don't reverence God. He tells them to keep his Sabbaths. Holy days. All right? Do we do that? If we don't, and we know Israel went into captivity. We know Judah went into captivity. Ancient Israel and Judah. God says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And you can look at all the blessings that God does all the way through up to verse 13. But if they don't obey, verse 14, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you. Terror. Terrorists. A terror like a terrorist gives to the point is like, whoa. And we saw that with 9/11. Could that have been a warning point as the stock market, when it gets a big blunder of a big hit one way or the other, it's going, things have started to go a different direction. Could that have been a turning point for us? God warned Judah for 40 years. How long is he going to warn us? We saw that in 9/11, that when we had that incident, how many people were afraid? They were terrified. How many people started going to church? How many people, evangelists, said, you know, it's because of our sins? And eventually the president said, take that back. And now we're on our, we go along as, you know, it's a faint memory to the point like we're not fearful anymore. God gives warnings. He gave warnings to ancient Israel and Judah. They didn't obey. They didn't heed his words. And it's going to be no different for us today as we go through this message. He says, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. After all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Then he goes on. And if you don't obey me, verse 21, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. And he says, I'll do this and I'll do this. And verse 24, then I will also walk contrary to you and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of this covenant. And then it drops down to verse 28, and I also will walk contrary to you in fury, And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins because there's no repentance. And then it says in verse 20, you shall eat the flesh of your sons to the point where the famine is so bad, you're so hungry, you're going to eat the flesh of your dying or dead children. Flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. All the things that God has blessed us with, we idolize, we worship, we put that before God. And we don't want to get rid of it. We don't want to give it up. And he says, verse 31, I will lay your cities waste. I will lay your cities waste. That has not happened yet. When Assyria invaded, when Babylon invaded, they didn't lay the cities waste. They took over the cities. But in the end time, when the cities are laid waste, they don't want to inhabit it. They don't want to inhabit. And bring your sanctuaries to desolation. And I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. Verse 33, I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So these are some graphic things that God is going to do. Because people don't want to change. They don't want to repent. Around 719, 723, Israel was taken into captivity. Mr. Tuck talks about that also in his letter. They're taken into captivity and hauled off to many areas in Europe. You know, sometimes you go, when you read the booklet, it's like you have people in Russia, you have people in Germany. It's like, I'm German, I'm Norwegian. Well, where did Israel go? They were scattered. They were taken into captivity all across Europe. Where is modern Israel today? Most people don't know. They exist. Where are they? Who are they? What does the Bible say? Most people don't want to know. Now, Judah was taken into captivity about 140 years later, thereabouts. But they weren't scattered. Everyone knows who Judah is. They're the Jews. Everyone knows who they are. They've been persecuted. They've been persecuted quite heavily. But we know who they are. We know who they are. But Israel, most people don't know who modern Israel is. They don't know who the other 10 tribes are. When you do some background, you find out who they are. And I talked about that in the beginning of the message. Let's turn over to Amos, look at another prophecy. Amos chapter 4. Now, in Amos, he was also a prophet, and some of the things that he prophesied did come to pass, but not everything that he prophesied has come to pass yet. Amos chapter 4, let's look at verse 6. So here we see, it says, also I gave you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities. You know, when you eat something, you have dirty teeth. You got to brush your teeth. If you haven't eaten anything in a while, you have clean teeth. So it looks like here it's talking about famine. And the lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. So God says there's going to be famines. There's going to be things that are happening. But you still won't return to me. Verse 7, I will also withhold rain from you when there still are 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Well, we just probably say, oh, that's just time and chance. That's what happens. Didn't get rain there. We got rain over here. They don't look at it as a warning. I blasted you with a blight and the mildew when your garden increased. I caused diseases to the plants. Your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees, the locusts devoured them, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. So these things will intensify, these things will happen, and it says people still won't return to God. I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword, along with your captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. So these wars, these things where we start showing that we are not winning, God says, I'm going to break the pride of your power. God warns us. So the question for us is, are we going to look at these as warnings or just time and chance? God is patient with us. We know in history, you can go back, God does warn nations. over time. It's not just instant. I warn you and it's going to happen. He gives time. He's very patient. He's long-suffering. Verse 12, therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. It will happen. Verse 13, for behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord of God of hosts is his name. Chapter 5, hear this word which I take up against you, a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that goes by out by 1,000 shall have 100 left. So 90% of the people are gone. That hasn't happened in Judah. That hasn't happened in Israel, ancient. It's future. It hasn't happened yet. Question is, do we believe what the Bible says? Or do we just want to shake it and sweep it underneath the rug? And that which goes out by 1,000 shall have 10 left, or that goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. So again, quite a bit of devastation. Verse 6. Seek the Lord and live. What does God want us to do? He wants us to obey the commandments. Obey the commandments and live. We know that's what we're supposed to be doing. Do we see the world doing that? Do we see modern day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah doing that? Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to the rest of the earth. Verse 15, hate evil, love good. To the few that are left, to the few that are left, God says, hate evil and do what is good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is future. The remnant that's left. You know, 2 Kings 18:12, we're not going to turn there. You know, God warned Israel in Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 28, blessings and cursings, right? They heard him, but they would not listen, as it says in 2 Kings 18:12. They heard God, but they would not listen. Hosea is another prophet. And God speaks through, when he talks about his word, it's not just one prophet. You know, when we go to each other to try to reconcile, it says, take 2-3 witnesses. We have 2 witnesses in the end time. It's just, God gives a number of warnings to us. Here we have Hosea, another prophet. And here, God says to Hosea, I want you to marry a harlot. And the harlot's going to represent Israel because she has been a harlot to me. It says that in verse 2. But let's drop down to verse 6. And she conceived again, second child, and bore a daughter. And God said to him, call her name Romana, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Verse 7, yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah. God had mercy on Judah. Will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses or horsemen. So God says that he has mercy on the house of Judah, who went into captivity 140 years after Israel went into captivity. They were not scattered like Israel. They came back out of captivity about 70 years later. And again, we know who they are today. The world knows who the Jews are. They're called Israel, but they really should be called the Jews from Judah, Benjamin. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, I want to reference it. God tells Israel, Judah, that you are my special children, a holy people, right? Almost like favoritism, right? You're my special people. You're the lowest of all people, but I am going to bring you up. There'll be blessings coming from you for the whole world. I love you. No wonder the world hated Israel and Judah. Psalm 83 says, if you read that passage there, it says people did not want to know Israel anymore. They wanted to blot them out. The Gentiles want nothing to do with them. They wanted them to disappear. And that's what happened so far with Israel. 10 nations, and most people don't know who they are. So Ezekiel, let's turn over to Ezekiel as well, has a lot to say about ancient Israel. And I know I'm jumping around, but I want to do different prophets. You could go back and read Ezekiel chapters 5, 6, and 7. I always want to read a couple of verses out of chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6. And this has not happened yet. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face towards the mountains. This is Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is future. Mountains can be nations, can be cities, but it's talking about modern day Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. Toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be desolate. Your incense, your altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I think we know, again, what idols are. Anything we put before God, serving them in place of God. He says, and I will lay the corpses of your children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around the altars. And all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate. Again, laid waste, as we just read in Leviticus 26. So that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Here we have Ezekiel, as I mentioned earlier. He's talking about Israel, specifically Israel right here. He's in Judah. And he's giving a warning to Israel, who was in captivity a little over 100 years before he wrote this book. So why is he warning Israel? It's because it's future. It hasn't happened yet. mean, we see in the Bible that God has done all these things to get people's attention. He's put people in captivity. He's raised up nations, taken away nations to get people's attention. It's not going to be any different for us. Look at Britain. What are they down to? They ruled the world in the last 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th century. They ruled the world. They're down to their country. Well, they got Scotland, maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. But you know what? Brexit. That could be something that breaks their back. I don't know. We'll wait and see. The new date is on Halloween, October 31st. How odd is that? Prime Minister May has been fired, or she resigned, and there's a new prime minister. He's fine leaving, from my understanding, from what I've read, leaving Europe with no deal, if that's the case. You look at their currency, where it was and where it's at today, and keeps drifting lower because of the uncertainty of their economy. But we'll see what happens, if what direction God allows this to go, and how quickly it will happen. But it's something for us to look at. We don't know the details, but we can see things are happening. When you know who Ephraim is, when you know who Manasseh is. And you think about this, that look what the United States and Great Britain have done over those centuries. We helped. They helped a lot of people. We, United States, is a major impact to the world. Our stock market goes up, most of the other stock markets go up. Ours goes down, theirs goes down. We're an economic power engine, a military might. We've given a lot of money to help a lot of countries. It says, your incense altars may be cut down and your works may be abolished. What do you think is going to happen when Great Britain and the United States collapse? People are going to be astonished. They're going to be astonished. It's going to create a vacuum. Someone's going to have to pick things up. Right now, the United States is pretty much at an economic war with China. You can read some of the history of that. We don't want them to be the next superpower. We're not paying attention to Germany, to Europe. We don't want China to get 5G. We caught them. You know, there's been an article I was reading this week of the intelligence, what they've been able to do to get into our intelligence within the last year. And we're stopped. We're putting a stop to that. From what that article says, and these tariffs that have been put on, I don't think Mr. Trump is going to stop them anytime soon, because he knows if he does, he has to allow certain technology to go back to China. He doesn't want China stealing from us, and you know, other countries don't either. We see some companies who their stock is going down because their profits are going down. Macy's, you know, some of these brick and mortar companies. And we see Amazon stock keeps going up, and they keep taking away the competition. What is that all going to do? Macy says, we tried raising our prices, but customers didn't want to pay it. How far can companies keep going on with having to pay that 25% tariff charge or 10% or whatever it is? My company pays 25%, and it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for a small business. So looking at these other businesses, how can you absorb it? And then they say, well, we can't raise the prices because people won't pay it. In Ezekiel 6, continuing, it says, the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. You will know. You will know that I am God. You may not believe in me now, but you will know. I'm going to get your attention. You will know. Yet, I will leave a remnant. A remnant. A little bit. We're seeing that major cities, major nation, wiped out. So that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are, carried captive because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes which play the harlot after their idols. And they will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all of their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. He's not just saying it. It will happen. It's going to happen. Continue reading down. Verse 10. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Verse 11. Thus says the Lord of God, pound your fists, stamp your feet, and say, alas, for the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence, and he who is near shall fall by the sword. And he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offend, offered sweet incense to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate. Yes, more desolate than the wilderness. And then they shall know that I am the Lord my God. It takes that. People are stubborn. They will not change. But they will know that we messed up, the remnant. We messed up all the blessings that God gave us. We took it for granted. The power that we were given, we've taken it for granted. Let's go back to Amos 9. Amos 9, another passage that has not happened. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, verse 1, and he said, strike the doorposts that the thresholds may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. There's no way of getting away from God. They can run, but they will not be able to hide. Though they dig into hell, into the ground, bunker's not going to save us. From there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to the heaven, go high as they can, jump in a plane, whatever, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top of Carmel, mountaintops, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea in a submarine, or whatever, God says, from there I will command the serpent, and it will bite them. Though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword and shall slay them. There's no getting away. Can't run from God. We can't run from God. God wants us to repent as well. He wants us to change. He's a loving and caring God. He doesn't want us to be a rebellious child. I set my eyes on them for harm and not for good, because they would not obey. So God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Now, we've been going through some of this. Let's go back to Ezekiel 7. Because God says there's going to be a single disaster that's going to come upon modern day Ephraim and Manasseh. And they will fall within 30 days. It says over in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1. It says, judgment on Israel is near, in my title. It says, moreover, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1. We'll read first part of this chapter. Moreover, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel. So here's Ezekiel. An end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. What do you mean? The end. Israel was already taken into captivity 140 years before this. Ezekiel wasn't even born when ancient Israel was taken into captivity. So this is future. At the end, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. In other words, we're going to reap what we sow. My eye will not spare you, nor I will not have pity on you, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. God says, you will know. You're going to know. I'm warning you. I've been warning and warning, and now it's come. You did not heed the warnings, and you will know that I am the Lord. A disaster, a single disaster. Behold, it has come. What is that single disaster? I can speculate. A single disaster to wipe out the nations? Now you got EMT type capabilities that could wipe out our communication systems. Who knows if it's a nuclear bomb? But it says a single disaster is going to come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Not a time to rejoice in your nations, in your cities. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare, nor I will have pity. I will repay you according to your ways. What you've done to others is going to be done unto you. And your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold the day, behold it has come. Doom has gone out, the rod has blossomed, pride has budded. Violence has risen up into the rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them. Nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come, the time draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. You know, could that be talking about what we talked about before in America, where, you know, you see that people say the stock market's down. It says, let not the buyer rejoice. I hear people say, I just can't wait for the stock market to go down because I'm going to buy. Or the seller mourn. I got to sell. It's going down. Most people sell when the stock market goes down and they're mourning. But there's people that love to buy. 2007, 2008, market's going down, it's going down, it's going down, it's going down. People are just waiting to step in to buy. People were having to sell. They were panicking. They were fear. That won't happen at some point. At some point, that ability to make money is not going to happen. You won't be able to buy close to the bottom and rejoice. There was one individual, Robert Kiyosaki, who bought and made $1 million. He has a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, from buying houses in the last market in Phoenix, Arizona. And he says recently in his other book, I'm just waiting for the stock market to go down again so I can buy again. So I can make money. A lot of people with money and understand that philosophy, that's what they do. They wait for it. They buy low and they sell high. It says, for wrath is on their whole multitude, for the seller shall not return to what has been sold. Though he may still be alive, for the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on their multitude. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and the famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains like doves on the valleys, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. Every hand will be feeble and every knee will be weak as water, and they will be girded with the sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face. Baldness on their heads. They will be so saddened and sickened. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Won't be worth anything. The economy's collapsed. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. In the day of the wrath of the Lord, they will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. They put that before God. Get as much as I can and get it any way I can. Or I'm getting it and not giving God thanks for it. Not tithing. Doing what I want to do with it. Verse 23, let's drop down. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Don't we see that in Chicago? Sometimes on the weekend, they say like 50 people wounded. And my son showed me a video of just shooting just going on in Chicago. The bullets ringing. Says, therefore, because of that, because of your disobedience, look what's coming. look what's coming to this nation. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the Gentiles. The worst. What is the worst? Who would you not want to be in front of? ISIS? Syrians were really bad in ancient days. The worst of the worst. They will possess your homes. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease. Oh yeah, we're so pompous. We'll always be strong. No one can invade us. And their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Oh, let's make peace. Let's make peace. Let's negotiate here. Okay, you can have my house. You can have my... There's not going to be any negotiating. They will not be able to make peace. There shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster. All because they would not repent. And rumor will be upon rumor, and they will seek a vision from a prophet. We will seek a vision from someone, some religious person. Help us get out of this. Pray for us. But the law will perish from the priest. That priest is not going to be obeying God. And the council from the elders. And the king will mourn. The president. Those in charge. Will mourn. The prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way and according to what they deserve. I will judge them. They shall know that I am the Lord. I wanted to see if I missed something here. Okay, let's go on to, it talked about a new moon. The new moon represents like a time period of, you know, new moon, 30 days, right? Time period. Where God comes in and a major one-time single disaster talks about the new moon. And referencing to probably a 30-day time period, as I was referring to earlier. But anyway... Yes, modern day Israel and Judah, they will know that they were called by God. God has set a covenant with them, and they rejected God. But you know what? They're going to know that they messed up. And God is going to establish, continue that covenant with them. God has in store for them during the millennium. If you want to jot it down, Isaiah 49 talks about the millennium where he restores them. He renews the covenant. He gives them a new heart. So also the chapter of Jeremiah 31 and also Ezekiel 37, as we will probably hear on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the other holy day where it talks about the dry bones, where God resurrects them and gives them another opportunity. But you know what? He has to get our attention. And people are so stubborn, they will not change. We, as spiritual Israel, those who are being called by God to repent, those who respond to the calling, are striving to overcome, striving to obey God, to keep his law, they're called spiritual Israel wherever they're at. God knows who they are. God warns us as well. We have that in the scriptures for us. But again, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So as we see things intensifying, right? I mean, we shouldn't just have to wait to see things intensifying. as we get closer to the end, whenever that may be. We should be repenting and living our lives now. But what do we do? Mr. Tuck asked the same question in his greetings letter to us. Well, we should not be worried about what lies ahead for us. If we're obeying God, God gives us comfort. If we are worried, we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing? That's contrary to God. Why am I worried? Yes, there's some challenges for us during that time. But God also talks about a place of protection for the church, which we'll talk about next time as well. But we shouldn't be worried about us. Shouldn't be worried about us and our family. More importantly, we should be asking, what am I doing to prepare to be a first fruit? What am I doing to prepare myself and others around me to help them to be of the bride of Jesus Christ? I mean, the bride of Jesus Christ. They're there to help solve the problems. They're the solution. We are the solution. Those who are obeying God now, striving to overcome, they're the solution to help solve mankind's problems and to help show them there's a different path. The path you're going is eternal death. There's a path to eternal life that God wants to give us. So we must be repenting as well. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 as we close. And before I read that, I just want us to remember the words of Luke 21:36. It says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass." Jesus Christ says they will come to pass, and that you are able to stand before the Son of Man. And in Revelation 3:10, Jesus Christ says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere." Persevere. This is not an easy life. Many of you are going through many difficulties, challenges, doubts. Don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, to obey me, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." God wants to know if we're going to obey him today, whenever. So in closing, let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because here it says, in my heading, it says, God is not slack. 2 Peter chapter 3, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." By way of reminder. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior." We didn't touch on all of the other prophets, but we touched on some prophets. And Peter's telling us, I'm encouraging you to remember. "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days." There's no God. Yeah, right, this is going to happen. Oh, yeah, right, those are warnings. Yeah, this happens all the time. It's going to happen. It's going to be scoffers. "Where is the promise of his coming?" Yeah. When is he coming? Yeah, right. Isn't that what many people said when Noah was building the ark? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they will willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water," the flood, "by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." Happened then. People didn't believe it. But the heavens and the earth, which were now are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men. That's out of date. What do you mean obey God? This is a new time. This is a new way. It says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what we're trying to do in our lives? Isn't that what we should be pointing out to others? Hey, we shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, talking about the tribulation, and the elements will melt, and with fervent heat both the fire and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? These things will happen. Peter is reminding us, I want you to remember that these things will happen. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt in fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness will dwell. A new ruler, Jesus Christ. The old ruler, Satan, put away. That will happen. Most people don't believe that. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Be without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. God is long-suffering. He gives warnings. And then he acts. And then he gives more warnings. And then he acts, and he gives more warnings. And he acts and more warnings. Will we respond? Will we? That's what God wants. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. People are saying, that scripture doesn't say that. That doesn't mean that. Yeah, right. They twist to their own destruction. It's going to happen. It's happening now. It's going to happen when the watchman tells modern day Ephraim and Manasseh and Judah their sins. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. We're warned. You know this. It's going to happen. I'm letting you know. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in that. Become godly. Become a person who cares about others, not one who takes advantage of others. Keep God's Sabbaths, his holy days, so we understand his plan of salvation. To him be the glory, both now and forever. So as we are coming to the end of this age, the end of the rule of Satan, God gives us some generalities of things that are going to happen, to take place to those who will not obey him, who do not want to repent, who do not want to follow him and his son. Modern day Israel's immediate future is not good because of their disobedience to God. God reveals to us what happens to those who do not repent And he also reveals to those who do. He wants to give the gift of salvation to all mankind. So today I hope this understanding should help us to know what to do.